Amen. All right. In Ephesians chapter 4, and you can read along in your Bibles, the verses will be up on the screen too, just these particular verses. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 20, as these verses are being read, as you're hearing the word, I want you to listen for words such as speak, talk, words, and any kind of variant about speech and communication of that kind. All right, so just listen for that. Speak, talk, words, things like that. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice, in this long passage of Scripture that's giving us instructions, how many times our speech is referenced? How we speak, what we do, how our tongues are employed in God. Notice that. Now, the things that we talked about in the previous weeks, one of the things that I spoke about was this idea that we would speak the truth in love. And the emphasis at that point in that message primarily was about the in love part. That many times We speak the truth, but we don't speak it in love. And what does it mean for us to be established and rooted in the love of God so that when we speak, our speech will be undergirded with love and it will make a difference to the hearer, not because we are telling them what to do, but because we are loving them with the love of God. And the communication from our mouth is the counsel of God to them in that situation. So there's a need for us to speak the truth in love. But there's also a need for us to understand, what do we need to do about our speech? What should our tongues, how should our tongues be? How should we speak? And this overwhelming truth throughout the Word of God, and especially as we look at this passage, is that spiritual maturity, the growth as a child of Christ, the fact that we are progressing as disciples of Christ, spiritual maturity is evidenced by the use of the tongue. And, you know, the verses there, Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 37. Let me just read that first. For out of the, this is Jesus speaking, he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, temptation, and because of temptation, spiritual compromise, often find their easiest route to our heart through the eyes, what we see. By the same token, many times, sin in us finds its easiest route out of us through our mouth. Not what we do, not what we think per se, but many times sin finds its easiest route through our mouth. Anger, rage, slander, gossip. We're coming to that, but things that are expressed out of our mouth. So that means that we have to be people, as children of God, who are saying, God, I got to do something about my tongue, the words that I speak. See, in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance. And we talked about this in some of the previous weeks. But immediately after that, it says, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Why? The connection is between the heart and the mouth. There's a big connection here. It's not the head and the mouth, it's the heart and the mouth. What you think or how you are expressing yourself inside in your inner man, what you experience in your heart, in the core of who you are, is going to be what you speak. Right? So there is a need for us to, of course, pay attention to the heart. And we've talked about that and how we need to be able to renew our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus and guard our hearts and our minds, the peace of God guarding our hearts and our minds, that we would get rid of anxious thoughts, that we would have a heart that is clean and clear before God. But this morning, in the time that we have, I want to go through three specific steps about taming the tongue. Most of us have trouble with the tongue. We say things that we shouldn't say. We say it when we shouldn't say it. We say it to somebody we shouldn't say. Right? Tongue. And what we do in terms of our communication as such. So if taming the tongue is such a strong theme, a strong subject in the Bible, we need to pay attention and say, God, what should I do? And many times we think about it and we say, I'm too far gone. I once shared in one context about the topic of anger. And I said, you know, here's what anger is and everything else. And we talked about it. And after I was done, one of the gentlemen there, he came to me and he said, all that you're saying is good, but I can't do it. I'm going to get angry. I know that I'm an angry person. I'm going to do it. You know, and that's many times the way that we think about it. And whether it's anger or a little bit of gluttony or a little bit of envy or something else. And about our tongue, we say, I couldn't help it. You know how I am. I just said it. You know, and he said this thing and I couldn't help myself. I just had to say something. Right? We make excuses for our tongues not being tamed. And we say, oh, my dad was just like that too. You know, I just did it like that. You know, I just, you know, my parents used to speak like that. I speak like that. You know. And by the way, you know, when our sin comes out of our child's mouth, it seems much worse. Right? You know, our sons and our daughters say the same thing that we say. And we go, oh! But it's just, they're just doing exactly what they saw and what they heard. And it seems much worse when it comes out of their mouth, right? We excuse ourselves. We overlook our sin. We don't tame our tongue. We say whatever we want. But we are quick to see that fault in somebody else. So this morning, saying and knowing and recognizing that all of us have been subject to this, where we have not tamed the tongue. These three things that I'm talking about next are for us to be able to say, Lord God, as I turn to you, and as I understand that this is such an important part of who I need to be as a child of God, what should I do? How should I practically manage my tongue? How should I do this? Because if this whole passage that we've read are instructions for godly living, then it has to be something that's very practical. Remember, the first three chapters in Ephesians were giving us doctrine, truths, things that established us. The last three chapters in Ephesians, 4, 5, and 6, are giving us practical steps. And they're saying, do this, don't do this, go there, do this, do that. You know, live your life like this, maintain your family like this. It's giving us very practical steps. So what should we do? Well, the first thing shouldn't be a surprise, but the first step in taming the tongue is to restrain, is to pull back, is to bite the tongue. How many times could we have avoided the conflicts that we got into or the situations that we were part of if we had just exercised restraint? Don't nudge anybody. Don't say anything to your neighbor or your spouse. But look, how many times have we said, oh, I should not have said that? As soon as the words came out of your mouth, right? I mean, I've been in situations, as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, 5 seconds, rewind, 5 seconds. I could have, you know, if I just didn't say that, right? And the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. A tight rein. If you know how to ride a horse, or you have, or you're used to, or at least seen pictures of, or video or something of a person riding a horse, you know that rider keeps the horse in control with the reins, with that cord that is tied to a bit in the horse's mouth, and is able to pull on that and keep the horse in check. That horse is much stronger than that rider. It has a whole lot more strength than that rider. But that rider is able to keep the horse in check with those reins. Right? We as children of God, our first commitment is to say, God, as it says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, when words are many, sin is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. In fact, in the rest of this section, and even in Proverbs chapter 17, it says, if you keep quiet, you'll be thought of as a wise person. Right? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 says, The one who has knowledge restrains his words. And one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. So there is a need for us, as children of God, to restrain our tongues. That means that we don't blurt out everything that we think. The thought comes, it's out. There's no lag, you know. The thought comes and it's out our mouth. The first statement that I'd make to you is, let's be people who don't blurt out everything we think. Right? Just hold the thought. Second, don't be afraid of silence. If somebody says something and you are thinking, oh God, what should I say? Don't feel like, oh, I better say something, because otherwise it'll be 5 seconds of silence. It's okay. Let it be silent. You just be quiet. Think, pray, restrain. Keep a tight rein on the tongue. Third, don't give in to pressure to say something. They provoked me. They were asking me a question. If I don't say it, who will? There's always pressure of some kind. There's always pressure of some kind that says, I gotta say something, right? Don't give in to that pressure. So don't just blurt something out. Don't be afraid of silence, and don't give in to pressure. Which brings us to step two in taming the tongue. Restrain, redirect. In James chapter 3, verses 3 to 12, it says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. What imagery. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And in reading through that passage, and with this particular statement up there, what I want you to understand is this. You can, first of all, restrain. And you say, I'm not going to say something. But now what do you do instead? You have to redirect. You have to recognize when a word is coming from a thought or a heart attitude that is not of God. That is not of God's prompting. And you have to be able to say, am I about to just light a spark? Am I about to do something destructive with my words? Am I about to cut down? Or am I doing something here that is of God? So I'm redirecting myself. I would have gone down this path, but I pull back, I restrain, I bite my tongue, and I redirect myself and I say, God, what is the path you want me to go in? What are the words you want me to speak? How do you want me to deal with this person? With my spouse, with my child, with my colleague, with my boss?
with my, you know, with my employee. How do you want me to deal with this person? What are the words that I should speak? How should I deal with them? So there's a redirection that takes place here that is similar to how you control that horse or how you control that ship with the rudder. Meaning the tongue is able to change direction. Do you understand? Do you see that? The heart attitude, if there is a heart attitude that is not right, that is not from God, we would recognize it. We would ask God for help. We would look at it and we would say, God, help me to redirect in such a way that my tongue will now cause the ship to go in a different direction. My tongue will cause this animal, this horse that I'm riding, to go in a different direction. My tongue will not set a blaze of fire and will not be the fire of hell, but it'll be the words of grace. We spoke about this too, that it'll be words of kindness, mercy. Remember? We said we want that to undergird our lives. This is the way that we want to just be thinking about it. And that's similar to what's mentioned in James chapter 19, verse 14, which says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And you can say it, you know, those things are so interconnected. You can say it in the other order. You can say, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth, or the words of my mouth, the meditation of my mouth. These are connected. But the point is that we are always praying before God and saying, God, let my words be according to your will. Not according to my will. Not according to my thoughts. Not according to what's my circumstances. Not according to who's saying something to me. Let my words be according to your will. Right? So there is a way for us to redirect. We tame the tongue by first of all restraining, but secondly by redirecting. Thirdly, we tame the tongue by rebuilding. When you come back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only. What is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, unwholesome talk or corrupting talk includes all the sins of the tongue. Gossip, lying, slander, critical speech, harsh words, insults, sarcasm, ridicule, all of these kinds of things. And we do this in some part or the other. Or you're involved in a conversation with somebody where they start to do that. And they'll make a cutting joke or they'll make a sarcastic statement and you feel like you should also respond. And so we get involved in this war of words with a whole lot of people around us without paying attention to the fact that the Bible is saying, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now, very quickly, and I'm not going through the whole list as such, but when you think about gossip, or you know, when you say, I said something about some person, you may even say, I said the truth about that person. Right? This person was going and doing this over there. I saw them. Oh, therefore, I went and told this other person. I spoke the truth. But was it the truth in love? Was it necessary for you to talk about what that other person did or said? Are you saying it so that that person will look bad? Are you saying something so that you will undercut that person? Then it's gossip. It is a slander to do something against that person, even if it is true, that you will say something for the purpose of making that person just a little bit less. And sometimes we do this to promote ourselves, but sometimes we do it just because out of the pleasure of it. Tasty morsels of gossip. Ooh, did you hear? Oh, did you see? And Facebook and social media amplifies all this stuff, right? Oh, did you see the picture that this person posted? My gosh, okay. And off we go. Gossip, slander, cutting people down. Not building up, but doing things in such a way that these sins of the tongue, this unwholesome talk, is what's controlling us. So the Bible's speaking very clearly about our speech to say that when we do these things, we are not doing what the word is calling for, but instead we are doing all of the opposite things from what is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. Because Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 says, but only. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only. Not but sometimes. Sometimes build people up. If you're in church, give them an encouraging word. No, but only. Let your speech, let your words be to build others up according to their needs. See, that means that whenever I'm speaking something, I have to first say, God, does this, whatever I'm going to say, does this help to build that person up? Does it encourage them? Does it give them a boost in their faith? Does it help them to be thinking about God more? Does it point them to Jesus? Is it building them up? Is it helping them? And then secondly, is it according to their needs? I may even speak a positive word. I may say to you, oh, God is very good. God answers prayer. That's a positive statement, right? It's a good statement. I may even say to you, oh, you know, God answered my prayer when I was looking for a job and he got me, you know, this job. It's a positive statement. It's a praise report. But you may be struggling because you just lost your job. I have to speak a word that is according to your need. That means I've got to know your need. That means I'm in relation with you. That means I'm loving you. That means I'm caring about you. That means I'm saying, what's going on with you, my brother, my sister? How can I speak a word that builds you up according to what you need? Maybe you're going through a physical need. Maybe you're going through a financial need. Maybe you're going through a need in your marriage or your relationships. Maybe you're going through a need in your workplace where you just need wisdom on how to handle something. What should I say? That's not just a building word, but is specific to you. And that takes time. That takes a community, a local church that's involved in each other's lives in that way. I'm not talking about being inquisitive, gossiping, slandering. Ooh, you know, why did you do that? What did you? Oh, no. But we know each other. We love each other. We care for each other. We pray for each other. So that when I speak, I can build you up. And I can say, oh, I know that this is going on in your life. You know, yesterday I was praying and this is what the Lord gave me. Let me share this word with you. And that person receives it and they say, oh, thank you. How many times has that happened? I know it has happened. How many times has it been where you have spoken something and you know it was helping that person according to their needs? And you say, oh, what a difference. We should be people who are doing that all the time. All the time. Speaking in such a way to build others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know what that means? I'm not afraid to say something to this person that somebody else cannot hear. And when they listen to it, they will also benefit. It may not be according to their needs, but they hear that word. They hear that positive statement. They hear that faith-building statement. They hear that word of encouragement. They hear you. They overhear you speaking to your brother and your sister to strengthen them. And they're also benefiting. What a difference that makes if our whole community, all the time, whether we're here in the church, whether we're at the picnic, whether we're seeing each other on the street, wherever we bump into each other in the store, we would speak words that build up, that encourage, that strengthen, that cause us to be closer to the Lord. That's
what the Bible is calling us to. And that brings us to our point of application this morning, which is that we would pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to tame the tongue. When we looked at this whole section in from Ephesians chapter 4 all the way through Ephesians chapter 5, at the very end, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we speak words that build up? How can we speak words that will be for the benefit of the listener and according to the need of the person we're speaking to? Only if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because in our strength, we can't do this. I cannot tame my tongue. What we read in James chapter 3 is, the Bible says, no man can tame the tongue. Guess what? That means you need supernatural help. If you can't do it, and the Bible's telling you you can't do it, you better go get help. Right? I mean, I can do a few things in the house. I can change a light bulb. Even that's tough. But I can do a few things. But if the electrical system's out, I have to go get help. I have to get somebody who knows what they're doing and how to do it and when to do it, and they do it. If we say, oh, we need to restrain our tongues, we need to redirect towards God, we need to build people's lives up, we need to rebuild things that we have broken down ourselves through our harsh words and through the incorrect, unwholesome talk that we have made, our statements to our own family members. By the way, our family gets the brunt of all of our unwholesome talk, right? Because they're the ones closest to us. They're in close proximity. They're the ones we interact with all the time. So who do we take it out on? Our family. Our loved ones. The stranger on the road, on the street, or the stranger that comes to your home, we're very kind to them. Oh, we're very polite, speak nicely to them, the waiter in the restaurant, whatever. But to our own family, we speak unwholesome words. How should we rebuild those relationships? How should we restore the things that we have spoken and therefore damaged? How should we restore that? How should we rebuild it? How should we do all of that? How do we allow the Spirit to work? We can do it only if we're saying, God, come and take control of my tongue. I'm not going to try to tame it. I'm not going to be able to be the rider on this horse. You have to be. Lord, you come and you be the master. You be the one who takes control of my tongue. You be the one who stops me when I'm about to say something. You be the one who changes my heart attitudes so that the abundance that overflows from my heart and comes out of my mouth is not myself, it's the Holy Spirit. You be the one that fills me to all the measure of the fullness of Christ so that, Lord, you will speak, not me. Because if God speaks through you, you can be sure it will benefit the person that's listening. If you speak, you're not so sure. Maybe, maybe not. But you know what Jesus said when he walked this earth? He said, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father saying it to me. Wow. Jesus said a lot of things. And he said a lot of things that were pretty hard too. He called the Pharisees vipers. I mean, you listen to the stuff that he says and you think, wow, some things were really hard, some things were really soft, some things were where he's, you know, giving reassurance, encouragement, healing, so many words. But he says, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it. Would we be people who are so led by the Holy Spirit, so yielded to the Holy Spirit, so submissive to the Holy Spirit, so controlled by the Holy Spirit, that we would say, Jesus, I don't want to say anything unless I hear you say it. You know that silence that I talked about, those 5 seconds at least where you have to pause? You know what you're doing? Listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Somebody says something. You bite your tongue, restrain, you interact, think about God. You know that you want to speak words that that will build them up. But during those 5 seconds of silence, listen. Say, God, what do you want me to say? What should I say? What is the word that needs to come out of my mouth? The next statement that comes out of my mouth needs to be from you. It needs to be from you. Just imagine if all of us, all the time, did that. Would our homes be different? Would our workplaces be different? Would the driver on the road who cut us off hear something different? Would we live differently if we said, Holy Spirit, I cannot tame my tongue, but I need your power. I need your guidance. And as a practical point of application, let me encourage you. Because every week we say it's something about, let's be doers of the word, not just hearers. This week, as you pay attention to your words, maybe you keep a track of all the unwholesome talk that comes out of your mouth. Maybe. But more importantly, pray and say, Lord, how can I speak only words that are from you this week? What can I do? And find an accountability partner. Maybe your spouse. Maybe your child. Maybe somebody else. But just say to them, hey, during this week, I want to be conscious about my tongue. I want to tame my tongue, not because I can tame it, but because I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. I want to restrain myself from speaking words that I should not. I want to speak words that build up. I want to do this in such a way that God is glorified and His name is lifted up. So please keep me accountable. Maybe at the end of each day, you text them. If they're right there in the house, don't text them, tell them personally. But do something. Just say, look, you know, today, you know, I was able to yield to the Holy Spirit. Today I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit taking control of my tongue. And the next day you may say, you know, today was tough. I said some unwholesome words. I didn't build up. I cut down. The next day you say, you know what? Today again, I was able to speak by the yielding and submission to the Holy Spirit. Next day, you know, I was able to yield to the Holy Spirit. And the next day, yes, I was able to yield to the Holy Spirit. We make that our pattern, our practice, our discipline. And those of you who've done any kind of things, like you're working out or you're out rowing or doing whatever, you know that it takes time to build these muscles. And for us to say, God, this muscle in my mouth, this tongue, I want it to be trained to speak your word. Help me. Help me. Help me. Instructions for godly living starts with us saying, God, take control of our tongues. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good to us, that you give us your word that is complete for life and godliness. And we pray this morning in light of your word and what we have read, let our speech reflect the truth and the word of God, so that, Father, we will only speak what you want us to speak. Lord, words that are helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit the listener. Words that are full of grace, words that are full of mercy, words that are full of kindness, words that build up, words that, Lord, come from the heart that is full of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, let that be our reality. This week, help us to put this into practice. Help us to hold each other accountable in love, not out of judgment. Oh, you messed up. No, God, help us to love each other and to say, oh, keep going, keep going, keep going. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Submit to Him. Let the Holy Spirit take control of your tongue. Oh God, let that be our reality. We want to be a church that is filled, oh Lord God, with Holy Ghost tongue talkers. Because our tongues that cannot be tamed by us are tamed by the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.